Luke chapter 5. House is full. Good to see everybody out. All you visitors, make sure I shake your hand, say hello to you. On your way out, thank you for coming tonight. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said to him, Master, while we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing, nevertheless at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. I'm going to go back there to verse 4, where it said, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. I want to preach tonight on that thought, to launch out into the deep. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, if you would, please. Now, I know that I'm reading a millennium section here that I'm about to read. So all you Bible scholars, amen. That's a millennium verse he's talking about. I know where I'm at. But the application, amen, can be used. And that's what we're going to look at in Ezekiel in chapter 48 is the application. Now I want you to look in verse, chapter 47 and verse 3. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. You know, as I look at that and I look at the application, I see the Christian's life. I see that there are stages in the Christian's life. The first stage, it said it was to the ankles. You know, I'm afraid that's where most Christians are today. Probably most people in here tonight, you've not got past ankle deep water. Yeah. Amen. Because when you're only into the ankles and a fuss raises up or trouble raises up in the church, it's real easy to step back into the world. I mean, you're not out there in deep water. It ain't far to go when you're only in your ankles. Hey, an ankle deep Christian is a carnal Christian. Amen. I mean, you don't read your Bible, or you don't read much. You don't pray much. You might pray over your food. Some of you won't even do that. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's a carnal person who is just to their ankles. If you've ever been in the ocean out here with the waves capping, you know as it comes into the shore, when you're just to your ankles, you feel that sand under your feet moving. And it's an unstable place right there at your ankles. And I'll tell you, the Christian life, when you're only in your ankles, you are very unstable. I mean, you're in and out. You get mad, so you hop out. You get right, so you hop back in. You get mad, so you hop out. You get right, so you hop back in. But you never go no farther than your ankles. The next phase was to the knees. Now, you're getting out there a little farther now. To the knees, that speaks of devotion. That speaks of humility. You humble yourself when you get on your knees and pray. It speaks of a devotional time with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when you're to your knees, you're reading your Bible through once or twice a year. You're spending some time in prayer. You're not easily offended. Amen. You're starting to get spiritual when you get to your knees. Then he said he measured 1,000, and it was to the loins. What does the loin speak of? Speaks of strength. Amen. Our strength in our body comes from our loins area. Hey, let's think about a ball player, a baseball player. When he hits a ball, what does he do? He steps into it and he turns his hips. That's where his strength is, right here. He steps, he turns, and he follows through. And that's why they hit the ball a long way. So nobody gets up there and just goes. No. In golf, it's a whole process. You turn at the hips, you come through with your legs, there's your strength. Amen. So there's a lot to do with the loins being our strength. Well, let me say, as a Christian, amen. This, when you get out that far, you start reproducing yourself. You start winning others to Christ. I mean, when you get out to the loins, you're a soul winner. Where are you tonight? Still back here at the edge? You got your feet wet, you're saved, going to heaven, but you're like this? Or have you got out there where you're winning souls, you're passing out tracts, you're talking to people about Christ? You are living the Christian life. Boy, it's quiet in here. I must be kicking something, man. I must be digging deep here. You listening? I mean, hey, but you know, this ain't the end. Because he said he measured another 1,000 and it was waters to swim in. It's over your head waters. Feet ain't touching the bottom waters. Amen. All the world can see is your head. Who is your head? Christ is. And I'm telling you, that's all the world should see. Amen. When you're out here and you're here, the world can see other parts of you. But when you get in over your head in the Lord Jesus Christ, all people can see is your head. And I tell you, when you get in that water, that current water, I tell you what you do. You toss back your head, lift your feet will come up, and you'll just float in the will of God. And let the current of the Holy Ghost take you and direct your path. I've been to Pensacola, and they got what they call those riptides. Now, those riptides are very dangerous. Those riptides run parallel with the shore. And they'll tell you that if you get caught in a riptide, don't fight it. Just let that riptide take you, and it'll spit you out, and you'll be okay. But you know what people do? They get out in a riptide, they panic, and they start fighting. When I was in high school, I was a member of a swimming club, and I took life saving. And I learned how to save people's lives. Come here, young man. You. When a man is drowning, and this boy is drowning, turn toward me. This boy is drowning, he's panicking. And he don't look like, you know, like he's a very strong boy. It looked like I should easily be able to whip this kid. Would you say amen to that? But as a boy that is drowning, and if I go into him this way to try and save him, a boy of this size could drown me and him. A man that is drowning is a superhuman being. They have that adrenaline kicks in, and they have strength they know not of. My wife grew up with a swimming pool, and a little girl was drowning, and Connie's mom jumped in to save the little girl, and that little girl started drowning her mom. And then I stepped in, amen. And because I knew what to do, I pulled them both to safety. Now, if I'm going to rescue this boy from drowning, I mean, he's out there fighting the water. He's out there fighting anything. If I came up to him, man, he's just going to latch on to me like this. So I can't go that way. I've got to get behind him. And then I go down below him. And then I pull his legs down in the water. So he's down in the water with me. And then I grab under here, grab here, and pull him back. Now you try to get out of that, son. Now you couldn't do that in the water. Because in the water, you're a lot lighter than you are right there. But I'm telling you something. When you get a guy in that hold in the water, he is not coming loose. and you drag him to shore. And I wonder about how many times people fight against the Holy Ghost. They get out there over their head, their feet can't touch bottom, and instead of resting in him, they panic. Oh man, here I am in God's will. What am I doing? Oh, it's scary out here. I don't know what to do out here. But if you'll just let the Holy Ghost take you, you'll be just fine. 18 years ago, I went to evangelism. And I'm telling you, that was a scary thing. I left my salary. I left my home. Amen. I left what I was doing there and went out, amen, into full-time work where I was dependent upon other people and the church to take care of me. And for 18 years, I learned just to throw my head back, let my feet pop up, and let that Holy Ghost direct my path. And he said if he'd direct your path, he'd take care of you. Now, when you get out here in deep water, there's something about this I really like. Because the farther you get in God, and the deeper you get in the will of God, the smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller the world looks. To where if you get out here far enough, Brother Steve, well, that world has no significance whatsoever. Oh, sure, you have to work. Sure, you have to go about your routine. But the things of this world don't appeal to you near as much when you get way out in the will of God. And when things are looking this tall, I'm going to tell you, I flew over Montana and flew over the Rocky Mountains, and it was a clear day, and I looked down, and man, all that stuff looked real small. I saw trucks on the road that were about the size of my fingernail. And I thought, man, how little things look when you get up at 30,000 feet. Well, I wonder how things look when you get so far out in the will of God that the world gets so small, it has no meaning for you anymore. I'm going to tell you, I'm to the place right now in my life where I'm saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I am not attracted to this world. Let me hear you now. Amen. There's nothing in this world holding me down. Amen. I'm ready to get out of this place. I'm ready to get on to heaven. I'm ready to live with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And goodbye, world. Obama can have it. Amen. The devil can have it. They can have my home. They can make a skating rink out of my church. They can have it all. I just want to see Jesus. Amen. You know why? Because I've got out in his will and the world doesn't look very important to me anymore. I'm going to give you now three things that'll happen when you launch out into the deep. Three things that I see that happens in Christians' lives when you launch out into the deep. Number one, it'll produce a life of faith. Amen. When you get out there in the deep, and you get out there where God wants you in his perfect will, it'll produce a life of faith. Someone said faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. Amen. And I tell you, our life is supposed to be a life of faith. The substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Amen. That is our life. Our life is to be like we have blinders on. And we're letting the Lord Jesus direct us, amen, in the way that he wants us to go and not the way necessarily that you want to go. His way is the best way. Your way could never be the right way. Amen. The Bible says, put no confidence in man, but our confidence is in the Lord. Let me tell you young people something in here tonight. You better trust God on what he wants you to do after graduation. Your mom and dad might want you off to college somewhere that might be 90 miles away from God. Amen. You better just let God direct your path and lead you. And you mom and dads ought to be sensitive to these kids and not be so concerned that they might make money so you might be rich. Amen. Some people, all they're thinking about is just their kids making a lot of money so they can take care of you when you get old. I've taken care of my kids so long, I told them when I get old, bless God, you're going to take care of me, like it or not. Amen. I tell you, we need to be sensitive to the will of God for our kids. Why would you take a child that's been raised in a good Christian home, that's been raised in a good church, and then send him off somewhere, amen, to a secular college of all things? To where every wolf, amen, will have a good look at your daughter. I'm going to tell you, these boys in the world, they're not after, amen, purity and godliness. They want to destroy our young ladies. They want to make them. All a girl is to the worldly boys is just another piece of meat. Can I get an amen? We're going to send our girls, or we're going to send them off to Bible college somewhere. Hey, I'm telling you what, I believe they can get a good Bible college education right here. I'll just be honest with you. I'm pastor now. I'm talking as a pastor. I got some good kids in my church. Some of the best people in my church are young people. And I don't want to send them away to build somebody else's church when then our church suffers when they're gone. I want them there serving in my church, and I'll give them what they need for the preaching. That's good preaching, Drummond. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Lyon. I appreciate that. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's turn there. We look at the book of heroes. These are the heroes. And if you'll notice, they all live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. 21, by faith, Jacob. 22, by faith, Joseph. 23, by faith, Moses. 31, by faith, the harlot, Rahab. And what could we say more, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. Hey, amen. What about these down in 35 women who received their dead raised to life again? And verse 36, and others had trials. Amen. You know, we're part of that others bunch in Hebrews 11. And I tell you, the just shall live by faith. I tell you, these old fishermen, Peter there, Lord told him, said, launch out into the deep, cast your net. He said, now wait a minute, Lord. We've toiled all night and have caught nothing. Hey, Peter wasn't your average fisherman like you might be or like I might be. I go out fishing once a year. I bought a fishing pole this year for the first time and took it on vacation. Brother Mark McGahee and I and Danny Hall and I and another couple go on vacation together. And this one guy, he pays for our vacation for us, pays for the condo, pays for our meals. We just go down there and he sets it all up and we have a wonderful time. And Danny and Mark are fishermen. I'm not. But I like to try. My wife, she outfishes me. We'd be down there. She was catching them two at a time. I was baiting her hook, and man, she's bringing them in before I could get mine in the water, and then taking it off and baiting her hook. She's throwing again. My pole ain't doing nothing. Finally, I said, bait your own hook. Take your own fish off. I got to catch something here. And I tell you, we would fish all around that boat, and if nothing hit, you know what we did? We moved on to another place. And we'd fish around the boat, and if nothing bit, we'd move on to the third place. And I'm going to tell you something, by the third time, we'd park somewhere, not caught nothing, I'm ready to go hit a golf ball. Take me to dry land. I'm done with this nonsense. But that Danny Mac, he'll stay out there 24 hours and catch nothing. He knows how to fish. And Peter knew how to fish. He did it for a livelihood. And when he said, "Lord, we've toiled all night, caught nothing," you know what that meant? That meant they'd put out that net all around that boat. They'd fished that whole lake out there. And as far as they're concerned, those fish were asleep. And Jesus said, "Cast your net out." And Peter said, "At thy word, Lord, I'll do it." And when he did, ba-da, what a surprise. He brought in a ton of fish. Hey, listen, when you launch out into the deep, it'll produce faith in your life. You got to have faith. You got to have faith to make it. You got to live by faith. That's what the Bible says. And you'll never know what God can do and how God can use you if you don't step out by faith and do something. The just shall live by faith. All that is not of faith is what? Sin. And he said, hold fast the profession of our faith. Launch out into the deep. And it'll put faith in your life. Number two, launch out into the deep and you'll be fashioned in His image. Oh yeah, you will. You ain't going to be fashioned in His image over here in the shoreline. No, sir. You're going to be fashioned in the world's image right here. That's how come, Brother Piet, we have all these worldly Christians. They look like the world. Why, they even talk like the world. They go, "Hey, dude, what's happening, man?" That's street talk. Hey, chill, man. When I was growing up, the word was groovy. Everything was groovy. Hey, baby. We'd snap our fingers. Hey, baby. Groovy. Today, the word is cool. Cool. I looked up that word cool in the dictionary. That word means not very hot. So when someone says, "Hey, that's a cool dress you got on," you know what they're saying? "I ain't very hot." Words like ridiculous. That has become a word that means great. When I said ridiculous, that meant stupid. When they say ridiculous, man, we went to church today, it was ridiculous. What? Ridiculous? Yeah, man, it was cool. It was, I like this one, sweet. 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 If I walked up to you in my day and I said, "Hey, sweet," I got smacked in the face. You would have looked at a man and said, "Sweet." Hey, amen. All his words today. And we got our kids going around using all that jive. And they got that walk, man. You know, they got that cool walk. And they're dragging that foot. Hey, amen. They got that hand held right. And they're going, "Hey, groovy baby. Hey, man, what's happening, man? Hey, give me five. Come on, girl, give me five. Up high. Down low, too slow." All this junk, amen. But when you launch out into the deep waters of God, you'll be fashioned in His image. You'll start looking more like Him and less like you. Amen. How many of you really, seriously now, how many of you really want to look like Him? Well, if you do, you're going to have to get away from here. And you're going to have to get out there where you're over your head in Jesus Christ. Amen. One way God brings us fashioned in His image when you get out there is through trials. And you know, we talked about trials yesterday, and we talked about it both services yesterday, by the way. But you can't get away from the fact that if you're going to be fashioned in His image, for the way that He does that is to take us through fiery trials. I want you to look at 1 Peter. I didn't read this yesterday, so I can read it today. 1 Peter chapter 5. Because I want you to see the end result of trials in your life. It says here in verse 10, in 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Now, is that you that are saved? Say amen or not. I have been called, amen, I have been called unto eternal glory because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he said, the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory, after that you've suffered a while. In other words, those trials are only going to be for a while. What do? Make you perfect. Well, you said you wanted to be. He said, establish. He said, strengthen. He said, settle you. Hey, I wonder how many of you would say when you first got saved, you needed settling. I mean, you were wild. Some of you were like animals. Talk to me. And when you got saved, God put you through a trial to settle you. He put you through a trial to strengthen you. He put you through a trial to make you perfect. I said yesterday, I know what I am. I know what I believe. And no one, any kind of preaching, is going to move me away from what I believe. You know why? I've been through trials. And God has, hey, I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. You get a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, it ain't going to be blowing down. Oh no, those roots go way down. You go down south, those big pine trees down there, those roots grow right on the top of the ground. Big storm comes through, just a big wind, and boom, knocks over all them shallow pines. But those trees that are planted by the rivers of water, they're sticking around. Amen. They can bend all the way over and touch the ground. But when the wind quits, they're going to be standing tall again. That's what it is when you go through the fiery trials. I want to say another way that God fashions us in his image is through cross-bearing. Look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Are you with me tonight? Good. Matthew chapter 16. I felt like I needed to give an invitation about 20 minutes ago. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's right. And take up his cross and follow me. You see, every one of you have a cross to bear. Every one of you have a cross to bear. Every one of you have to deny. Hey, when you launch out into the deep and you out there in the deep waters of God, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and you're going to have to follow him. And if you don't, you'll be swimming back to the shoreline, getting out. How many do you know, preacher, that got in and then got out? Let me ask you something. If everybody would be here tonight that was a member of this church one time or another since you've had it and have left because they got out, is this big enough to hold the people that would be here? No, of course not. You know what happened, people? They get offended. They get their feelings hurt. I like to get a great big old nuck, a pacifier, carry it around, and put it in people's mouths. Oh, you poor little baby. Well, he made me mad. He said something that bothered me. Wah, wah, wah. Let me give you two words. Grow up! We have a little baby here, Sarah. She's in the nursery now. She's one. I mean, that baby's starting to make sounds and do things with her hands. I've got a little boy that's one, a little grandson. And I'll go by and I'll go, hi! And he'll raise his hand. Hi. Hi. Then you'll say bye. He'll go, bye. Bye. And he'll say, Nana. Nana. He'll call for Nana. And now he's starting to say, Papa. Papa. Well, he has a little dog. We'll say, get that dog. He'll go fall on that dog and just play with that dog. And you know what that tells us about that kid and about this baby? They're good. They're healthy. They're normal. I mean, he picks up food now and gets it to his mouth. And, I mean, you know, just anything he can get his hands on. Amen. You call his name, he turns and looks at you. He knows his name. He's walking. Amen. He's been walking since he's 8 months. He looks like a linebacker for the New England Patriots. I mean, he's a stocky little boy. But you know, if that kid was fumbling around and couldn't make noises and couldn't walk or crawl yet, you know, we'd take that baby to the doctor. And that baby would say, you know, he has an illness. He's mentally deficient. Back in the day when I was growing up and you was growing up, we called it retarded. There's nothing wrong with that word. But you have to be politically correct today. It's not an alcoholic. It's a chemical dependency. No, they're drunks. Plain and simple. They're druggies. And somebody that is like that is retarded. They can't feed themselves. They get to be 5 or 6. They still mess their diapers. Well, brother, what is it with Christians who've been saved 5 or 6 years and you still have to clean up their messes and change their diapers? And you still have to spoon, open up, here it comes, open up the airplane hangar, here it comes. Now, you know what we have in our churches? Retarded Christians. They can't think on their own. They can't read on their own. Everything has to be spoon-fed and done for them. Grow up! Quit being a baby. I can't stand a baby. I mean, I love babies. I can't stand a baby Christian who's been saved 100 years and can't crawl. Can't do nothing. You have to do everything. You're all the time going behind him. Okay, well, he didn't mean to say that. She didn't mean to do that. You know, we told you. Some of you look like you are. Amen. You need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and grow up. And if you want to know the chapter for it, it's Romans chapter 6, where we are crucified. We are dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. Let me tell you this, church, get out of the sin and business. Amen. Amen. Start living a victorious Christian life. Yes, sir. You say, is that possible? Yes, it is. Amen. Let me say another thing, amen, how God fashioned you in his image, not only through, the trials and through cross-bearing, but he fashions us in his image through preaching. Whether you like it or not, you need preaching. Amen. We had a meeting this week because you need preaching. You're going to have a meeting in a few more weeks because you need preaching. And I'm starting to see it now since I'm pastor 5 whole weeks now. I'm starting to see that they start taking the preacher for granted. I was at church one time, and we had an evangelist come in. Boy, he preached a great message. And we're all standing around Brother Jones and the evangelist, and I'm there. And a guy comes up and says to the evangelist, man, that was the greatest message I ever heard. My pastor looked at that man and said, I preached that same thing last Sunday. I mean, how often do you have a meeting, someone comes in and preaches the same thing you've been preaching? He told me yesterday, he said, I know our people have figured out that me and you have talked and I have filled your ear and what to preach, because everything you preaching, I've been saying. You're wrong. Hello. But you know what happens? They take you for granted. It's just Brother Piet. Another service, another yelling service, bring in the evangelist, we'll have the altar full.
Well, is your altar full when he preaches? Well, it should be. Any of you men that's come in here, pastor, you are, brother, your altar's full every service? Should be. Should be. Hello? And if any of you are members of his church, shame on you if you ain't at the altar. Man gets up and prepares. God gives him what to say. But it's just the same guy saying. Bring in another guy, does it a different way, says it at a different volume, and people flood the altars. Shame on you. That's good preaching. Amen. And I wasn't told to say that either. Launch out into the deep. Let me say thirdly and finally tonight, launch out into the deep and it'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, yes, it will. Look with me in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I'm a numbers type of guy. I believe the Bible is written in an order and I believe it's right and I believe numbers make sense. And we know numbers. We know that 7 is, his perfect number. Would you say amen to that? That the number 3 and the number 7 are perfect numbers. We know the number 8 is the number of what? New beginnings. We know that number 9 is the number of what? Fruit of the Spirit. And now in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, it says the fruit of the Spirit, let's count them, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. How many was that? Hey, the Bible's got it right. The fruit of the Spirit is 9. Now let's do some numbers thing. See if you like this. King James, let's do King James. K-I-N-G-J-A-M-E-S. How many letters? 9. Fruit of the Spirit. Let's take 16:11. 1 plus 6 plus 1 plus 1 is? Let's take Holy Bible. H-O-L-Y-B-I-B-L-E. 9. Let's take Galatians is the 9th. Book in the New Testament. How many letters you suppose is in Galatians? 9. Let's go Galatians 5, 22. That's where it starts. 5 plus 2 plus 2 is 9. Verses 22 and 23. 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 3 is? Hey, this book's got it. I got the right book. I have got the fruit of the Spirit. I don't need the New King James. I don't need the NIV. I don't need the RSV or the HIV. I've got the right book. Amen. And it produces love. And that love is not a lustful love. Every now and then I'll see a pretty girl walking. And I'll look away and just look at a man. And I'll look to see where a man looks. And I know where a man looks is a lustful look. He's not looking. Listen, God made women beautiful. Amen. And you are to appreciate the beauty of a woman. I have a beautiful wife. But you're not to look at a woman to lust after her. That's when you've committed adultery. You mean you commit adultery in your heart? Yes, you can. When you look at a woman to lust after her. That's what the Bible says. So the love he's talking about here is a pure love. It's a good love. It's where I can say, preacher, I love you. And there's nothing queer about that, sensual about that. Now, if I say I love you, that's a little different. This is my woman. I love her in another way. But to him or to you, I love you is not a lustful love. I can look at this girl and say, I love you in Jesus Christ. It's not a lustful love. It's a pure love. Help me out, church. Love, joy. Well, how do you spell joy in words? J? G, wait a minute. J is? O is? Y is? Where is yourself in the word joy? It's last. See, real joy is others before you. Love, there's joy, there's peace, there's long suffering. Hey, do you have long suffering? Can you put up with idiots? I mean, somebody in the church that just always rubbing you. Can you smile and God bless you, brother? Or do you have to pop your mouth off and say something rude or something mean? Long. Hey, listen, friend, God was long suffering with you. And he was long suffering with me. Goodness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, a temperance. Against such there is no law. Ephesians 5:9 says the fruit of the Spirit will produce goodness, righteousness, truth. Launch out, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. Get away from the shoreline. I want to plead with you tonight to get away from the shore. You that are hanging around the shore and looking like the world, talking like the world, acting like the world, dressing like the world, I want to challenge you tonight to get out. Get beyond your knees. Get beyond your loins and get out in the deep water of God and allow the Holy Ghost to take you and to do with you. And let me say this, he'll never take you in the wrong way. He'll never lead you in the wrong direction. It'll always be the right way and the right thing. Amen. If you're following him.